you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Well, folks, it is my pleasure, as we do here on Wednesdays, to welcome my co-host to the program. Rick Manning is on with us, Americans for Limited Government. Rick, welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
Thank you. And my pleasure always to welcome Dr. David Wormser, Center for Security Policy. And as I mentioned in the warm-up, he is the director of the Project on Global Antisemitism and the U.S.-Israel Relationship. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism that is taking place right now. We are we just passed 75 years after Auschwitz. And it's interesting to note, relative to that, that when our American general came upon that, he wanted to make certain that lots of pictures were taken, lots of historical record established, because he said, one day, they will say that this did not happen. David, we're experiencing that. I mean, we've been experiencing it for quite some time, but we're especially, it seems, experiencing it now, and it's really become more emboldened among some of the higher academia. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's been an existence of anti-Semitism as long as there's been Jews, so it's not an entirely new phenomenon. But what is new, well, it's not that new, but it's how much right now the anti-Semitism is gravitating toward the left and the fashionable ideas of the left. And I think where it's really coming from at the end of the day is that what happened at Mount Sinai and what happened in the Bible and what happened at Mount Moriah, where the near sacrifice of Isaac and so forth, this is the foundation of the West. So if you want to destroy the West, ultimately, you're going to have to go back to its foundation. And while the Constitution protects freedom of worship of all faiths and sects and so forth, we are, at the end of the day, a Judeo-Christian nation culturally. And it is the foundation of who we are. So if you really want to take down the West, you've got to take down that. And that, to me, right now, is why the left is so gravitating toward the destruction of Israel, the delegitimization of Israel, the intense assertion, emotional and intensive assertion that Jerusalem belongs to the Muslims, not to the Christians and Jews. I think this is all part of the larger war on the West. And not that all anti-Semitism is, but this particular leftist assault these days, I think, is. And so we're going to see it intensify the more the progressive camp feels that it's gaining ground and destroying the foundations of America.
And they act as though this is happening, or they're doing this inside of a vacuum, when the reality is that this is creating a huge destabilization in the Middle East, in an area that under the Trump leadership and the Trump policies, there was a peace that was beginning to take shape that had not happened in that region in a very, very long time. And now you have, you know, Pokem China Joe, and his policies are very quickly unraveling that. Issues with Iran, their nuclear program certainly has to be a grave concern. ISIS seems to have risen again, and nobody wants to talk about it, but, you know, Turkey and their influence in that region and what they are trying to accomplish, and Erdogan's push towards a new Ottoman Empire, and all of it is being supported in the background by China. Take your pick, I guess, David, at which one of those you want to take a swing at.
No, I mean, this administration is a steroid version and foreign policy of the Obama administration. And where the Obama administration went is they went to who was our best ally, best set of allies during the Cold War, whether it was Colombia fighting the FARC, whether it was opposing Cuba, Israel in the Middle East, UAE, Saudi Arabia to some extent, Poland, the Eastern European countries that liberated themselves from Russian control. When you look at Obama's foreign policy, he distanced himself from our allies. He ended the special relationship we had with places like Japan and Israel and so forth. And instead, he reached out to our enemies to try to, and made them on even par, or made them on par with our allies, if not even courted much more aggressively than our allies. So there's really an undoing. Just like you have the Biden people, if Trump did it, it must be bad and we have to do the opposite. You had with Obama, sort of, if Reagan did it, if the United States did it in the Cold War, then it must have been bad and we have to do the opposite. So it's really a hard time to be an ally of the United States under this administration. And the result of it is that our enemies really feel that they have a moment. And yet they're reading our political tea leaves. They do sense something happening here. They're not impervious to what happened in Virginia and so forth a couple weeks ago. So they know they have about a year now to really set things up as far as they can set things up in their favor. So I would look for the next 12 months to be awfully dangerous, destabilizing, and violent.
Rick, I know you follow this very closely. Please, go by all means, sir.
Yeah, David, one of the ironies to our push towards Iran is that it's actually solidified the Abrahamic Accord in terms of the relationships that have been formed between Israel and those southern Arab states, UAE, Saudi Arabia in particular, as we're seeing those relationships becoming more closer and closer, because quite honestly, they know they can't depend on us. Am I right in saying that in fact, the backlash in the Middle East is less reliance on the U.S. and hence more self-reliance and tying those ties even closer together?
Yeah, no, absolutely, you're right. There definitely is a desperate alliance of jilted lovers out there emerging. I once talked to an Indian diplomat, and he even called it that, the community of jilted lovers. It's all these nations that either chose to go more toward the American side in the last years, like India, or those that had special relationships, like Japan and Israel. They felt tilted, and they were desperate, the UAE, and they're binding together, and I think this is a very positive thing that they're binding together, and I'm glad that they're beginning to carry the water of Western defense, and defense of Western civilization, and that's a good thing. But at the end of the day, the morality and power of the United States cannot be replaced. And so the world ultimately depends on the return of American power. I'm glad that this may be added to it, an added dimension, that we actually have functional, real alliances that actually carry the water. But I'm nervous about ultimately the ability of the Western world to be secure and our way of life be secured without the return of American power.
There's two directions I'd like to go, but I'm going to go just with American power. Given the transitory nature of American power from administration to administration, and the fact the left and the right in America do not agree about what who our allies actually are, can America actually lead in the future? Or are we just good to have you on our side when you're here? I mean, I'm trying to really figure out what this looks like a decade from now, because no matter who wins in 2024 and takes the office in 2025, Well, the relationships have been, at least the trust in the relationships have been shattered.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, it is a real question. I think the answer is you have to go back to the basics. It goes to the internal American question. As a civilization, it isn't just foreign policy that you see a radical shift back and forth with each election. Mm-hmm. Internally, mm-hmm. our very sense of identity and who we are is, you have an administration building it back, and then you have a following administration tearing it down. And, you know, we have to go back to the basics. We have to retake the schools. We have to retake the churches and make people go to churches. Not make, but make it so that people go back to churches. Make it so that people respect our history, learn our history, understand our values, where we came from, the Plato to NATO succession of Western thought. So we have to rebuild that, because that foundation then creates consistency.
When we come back, we're going to take a break here in just a minute, but when we come back, I'd like to talk in some specifics relative to Iran and their efforts towards becoming a nuclear power, and there are many who believe, and I have said this, you and I, David, have talked about this in other times, I believe that Iran actually is already, they already have that. They already have that capability. It's a matter of how are they going to use it? What's it going to look like when they do? And I think that's why Israel's reacting to them the way they are. But I also want to talk about Turkey, and I want to talk about just simply jihadi terrorism in general and where we may be going in the next 6 to 10 months. Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening, because you are God's chosen generation.
Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off-limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My guest, my co-host for this segment, Rick Manning, Americans for Limited Government. As I said earlier, be sure and get over to our sponsor page and check out. They've got some just some really cool comics that are up there for sale, and you can buy those on Canvas, and they make a great gift, and I encourage you to do that. Go to the sponsor page, click on the ALG link, and you'll head directly over there, and you can peruse the catalog. Our guest, David Wormser, we're talking about Middle East tensions. We're talking about Israel, anti-Semitism, a variety of topics. As we went into the break, I suggested that we might want to think a little bit about Iran, Turkey, and jihadi terrorism. David, we were talking, you and I and Rick, in the break, but bring our audience in, if you would, your thoughts with regards to Iran, Turkey, and Rick asked a very interesting question. I don't know, Rick, do you want to ask that, and then we'll run from there?
I don't remember which the interesting
NATO.
Question
Your
I
NATO,
asked.
The NATO okay, question, yeah, okay. The NATO question, and alignments.
Given Turkey's desire to reset up the Ottoman Empire, can we, in fact, should they retain their membership in NATO? And I would argue they should not, because the fact is they no longer have NATO's interests at heart. They have they have the interest of empire. But David, so what do you think? Can they remain in NATO? And what about the relationship between them and Iran? Is that sustainable, or is that heading for trouble between those two nations?
Well, no, I think you're right that on the first part, that both parts really, but regarding the first part, the civilizational direction of Turkey right now is hostility to the West, hostility to everything the West stands for, and NATO, if it means anything at this point, is sort of a residual a military structure manifesting Western interests against Russia, against et cetera. So they really don't belong there, and they're using their position in NATO both to shut down critique and criticism, but second of all, also to give themselves a role in Europe that is very dangerous. They're very destabilizing in Europe and European politics because of the large Muslim populations. They very aggressively funded radical movements in those populations throughout Europe. So you will see pro-Turkish structures everywhere you go in every European city that is radicalizing the Muslims of those cities. So this is a great strategic threat. I mean, you can't have a nation that poses a strategic threat to the West be part of the alliance that is symbolizing the West. So absolutely, I think that we have to consider seriously the removal of NATO. I'm not sure what the mechanism is for that. I'm not sure there is really a real mechanism for it. But anyway, we have to really think about that. The larger question about Iran and Turkey, you know, at the end of the day, they hate each other. It goes back to the very foundations of Iran identity and Turkey. And it isn't just a Sunni Shiite thing. It's also how Iran, modern Iran, came to be. It was a reaction to Turkey, and it was actually a bunch of Turks who did it. They're in the end, they're going to fight each other. They're going to be bitter enemies to each other. However, they are right now focused on what is the most important threat to their civilizational challenge to the West, which is American power and the alliances that are residual in the region of American power: Israel, the UAE, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia. So Turkey uses its relationship with Qatar to get a lot of money, to fund these radical activities and to fund itself and stay afloat, which is tricky. Turkey's economically collapsing. And it poses a very grave threat, therefore. So, yeah, I think we have to really seriously reexamine the role of Turkey. It is bent on undoing Christian and Western civilization. And it's manifest by the pride with which Erdogan took the Hagia Sophia church, which turned into a mosque under the Ottomans, and then under Atatürk, which turned into a museum, and de-religiousified it. I don't know the right word there. But he returned it into a mosque, and it was very much an in-your-face to the Christian world to do that. And it was deliberately done that way, to say that he is ascendant as the grand new caliph of Islam. He is ascendant. That's the symbolism of what he's doing.
Well, I think the other side to that is the Armenian genocide that continues that no one talks about. We talk about it at Save the Persecuted Christians, but there is a direct assault on Armenian settlers in the southern part of Turkey, and many of whom are beaten and their women taken and put into slavery and so forth. And there's little or nothing that they are able to do, even though they are not attempting to pose any form of threat whatsoever to the Turkish government, David.
Yeah, no, anybody who is not a Muslim is endangered by Erdogan. Over the last year, the Indian government has arrested a whole slew of Turkish agents funded by the religious ministry in Ankara in Turkey. Not only in Kashmir and the Muslim provinces all the way up north, but throughout India, trying to radicalize India's 200 million strong Muslim population to try to create a civil war, a Hindu-Muslim civil war in India. This is catastrophic strategically for the West, and it's hostile to the and destabilizing to the highest level by Erdogan to do that. So wherever you turn, whether it's Jerusalem, whether it's Stockholm, or whether it's New Delhi, you're going to find Erdogan's tentacles out there trying to radicalize Muslims, destabilize the situation against non-Muslims. It's a universal principle of Turkish foreign policy right now.
Rick?
David, one of the interesting things about that is that, at least it seems to me, Turkey has a tremendous amount of ties to the Uyghur population in China, and yet they give China free pass to enslave the Uyghurs. And yet they're doing China's business by trying to destabilize India, because India is the offset to China in terms of Western world's Asian exports. And so in many respects, India and China are the two games in the Far East. And everyone's doing the Chinese business, dirty business, by trying to destabilize it. How is he threading the needle with China that way when China's also interested in Iran?
Well, China's using its leverage. I mean, one is just sheer survival. Erdogan is a basket case in terms of actual governance. So his country's falling apart. The economy is falling apart. The currency is dropping, I'd say, through the floor. It's way through the floor. It's below the basement at this point. It's stunning how bad the Turkish economy is performing right now. The same with the Iranian economy. It's bankrupt. It's completely bankrupt under sanctions, which unfortunately may well be lifted in the next few weeks by the West as an appeasement of the Iranian regime to try to bring them back to the nuclear deal, which wasn't controlling Iran's nuclear program anyway. But that's a different story. The bottom line is that China is using its money and its influence economically to restabilize these countries in exchange for which it gives India the strategic foothold in the Middle East to put India in a vice. That's ultimately what this is all about, the great strategic threat to the West.
And India, of course, is China's greatest threat because it is the only nation that's anywhere near close to the size relative to population and so on. Although, and I spend a lot of time with India, it is also a severely impoverished area as well in many respects because of its caste system. But yeah, there's huge conflicts between the Hindus and the Muslims and so on. All right, we're out of time. David Wormser, you can find him at Center for Security Policy. Rick Manning, you can find him at CG Contributors at the Chosen Generation Radio page. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil so you all might enter into his.
Next time on Focus on the Family, Dr. Tony Evans explains what it means to have a kingdom marriage under God's authority and for his glory. He shares about maintaining oneness, the importance of having a servant's heart, and how to rebuild a marriage relationship that's been fractured. God's wisdom for your marriage on the next Focus on the Family.